services subcommittee. And we're going to do some services. One of the services we're going to do is we're going to make a seminar, a VTE seminar for the gurus. Generally, when people hear that, most devotees, when I tell them that, they kind of laugh. A guru, in other words, why would you make a seminar for gurus? Because gurus are supposed to know everything. Supposed to be omniscient, or at least that's sometimes the conception. Well, everyone knows that's not true anyhow. But the point is that whatever we call it, more or less it's to train the gurus and to train the disciples, not only the gurus. So one interesting thing is that I have a disciple who's been writing to me, and it doesn't matter what I write to him, he's completely fixed in his idea. He knows exactly what is the position of the guru within ISKCON, and he's going to convince me. But one interesting, because I had to do some research to deal with him, and one of the questions was, what is the authorization of the present gurus in ISKCON? How are they authorized to become guru? So does anyone know that? Did I bother?
Yeah, he talked to us because
he
had some qualifications. And
they
had a qualification
with
one kind of
authorization.
Okay, that's good.
Andrew? Well, there are maybe instructions from Prabhupada that he wants the disciples to become, and the procedure is that, as far as I know, the present procedure of GBC is that to have no objections, and then they give that in the local, who's that in the local conference.
Good. Anything else?
That you should become a guru and
Yeah. I probably quoted that also. Yari deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agai guruhana tare desh. And Lord Chaitanya has instructed all of us to become gurus. But Diksha Guru, Prabhupada, in a number of letters, he explained that after the disappearance of the spiritual master, then all his disciples can become guru, Diksha Guru. In other words, during his presence, he said that any one of my disciples, whether they're sannyasis or grihasthas or vanaprasthas or brahmacharis, all of them can become guru. But during the presence of the spiritual master, it's against the etiquette for his disciples to take up the position of initiating guru. But what is initiating guru? In other words, in ISKCON, we've made it either a position which is like so high that no one really knows what the qualifications are. You have to, it's all, as soon as you become a Diksha Guru, you have all mystic powers. One of the first Diksha Gurus in ISKCON, who was my friend in Chicago, and he came up to me and said, yes, we had our meeting, and we decided that all of us, when we get together, we're all Prabhupada's present, and now that I'm initiating, I have all mystic powers. Because if you're initiating, you must be a pure devotee, and therefore you have all mystic powers. So he said, now I have all mystic powers. He didn't have all mystic powers. So that's one conception, is that, well, first thing, everyone should be preaching according to Lord Chaitanya's instructions. Our whole movement is just for that. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh. That anyone who's preaching, he's a guru. And why is he a bona fide guru? Of the Jayapadma? That's one who's preaching. Yeah, well, what happens if we can't convince? Just like I have a disciple, I can't convince him that I'm authorized. Although he keeps on calling me Guru Maharaj, but I can't convince him that I'm actually authorized. Because according to his philosophy, Prabhupada, he uses, I'll just give you some of the background, because we're all, if you ever go on the internet, even if you don't go on the internet, it's just common knowledge. He uses the example that in the May 20-something conversation, the Prabhupada was asked by Satsarupa Maharaj. He said, Prabhupada, during what, now that you're present, how will the initiations go on during your presence since you're sick? Prabhupada was sick since 1977. And after your disappearance, how will the initiations go on? And then Prabhupada, Tamakrishna Maharaj, oh, Prabhupada said, I'll appoint some of you as officiating gurus, acharyas. And Tamakrishna Maharaj said, oh, that's Riddhik. And Prabhupada said, yes, Riddhik. Then immediately, there's a whole question on, has anyone heard this conversation before? Have you ever heard this conversation? Really? You never heard this conversation before? May 20-something? Yeah. Then they asked Prabhupada, whose disciples will they be? And Prabhupada said, why are you asking? He said, then there's a whole confusing thing about being my disciple. When I offer you, when I order you become guru, then you become guru, regular guru. And then Prabhupada said, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Guru Hana Tari Desh. Lord Chaitanya has instructed all of you to become gurus, so when I order you become regular guru, then you become the disciple of my disciple. Now, later on, a couple of months later, in July, I believe it's July 7th, actually it's July 7th for those who are interested, Tamakrishna Maharaj is speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, there are many, many people, they want to become initiated, first and second, but, you know, you're sick, and according to what we understand, that when the guru, he accepts disciples, then he gets the karma. But we don't want you to take the karma because you're already sick, and if you take more karma, you may get worse. So then Prabhupada said, all right, give me a list of the senior sannyasis. They can do it. Because Prabhupada, and then Tamakrishna Maharaj said, well, I don't have a list. And Prabhupada said, all right, Brahma Spar can do, Bhagavan can do, etc., etc. And then Tamakrishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada, they'll still be your disciples, right? And Prabhupada said, yes. You can put their name in the book. So Tamakrishna Maharaj writes a letter saying that these 11, they're authorized to give initiation on Prabhupada's behalf henceforward. So now you have a group of people called the Riddhiks, which are, there's an endless variety of them. They say that this is the letter where Prabhupada said, henceforward, for now on until eternity, these 11 are going to be giving initiation on Prabhupada's behalf. Doesn't matter if Prabhupada's live or disappeared or whatever. Doesn't matter whether these 11 are there or not. For now until the next 10,000 years at least, dead or alive, these 11 are going to give all the initiations on Prabhupada's behalf. So, it becomes very complicated. In other words, everything Prabhupada said in the past about what the authorization of the guru to become a Diksha guru goes out the window. There's only one word left in our whole philosophy, henceforward. And that applies to everything. In other words, Prabhupada didn't know what he was saying in his first, before 1977, July 9th, when they wrote with Tamakrishna Maharaj, as the letter mystically, for the word, henceforward, Prabhupada didn't even use the word. Now it becomes the law of ISKCON, henceforward. But my point is, it's very simple that during the appearance of the spiritual master, everyone should be preaching. And anyone who's preaching, they become an instrument for Krishna. We're not the preachers, actually. As Srila Rupa Goswami writes in the Nectar Devotions, in the introduction, Prabhupada quotes it, where he says that actually no one should consider themselves to be a great preacher, one should consider themselves to be an instrument for the predecessor's spiritual teachers, acharyas. So the fact is, whether we recognize it, whether we don't recognize it, all of us are just instruments. Sorry to tell you. The best we can be is an instrument. We may be very expert at getting in the way and concoct all kinds of nonsense to throw in there, but once in a while, even if we tell people to chant Hare Krishna, that much we're an instrument. That much we're actually representing the real guru, the original guru, who's the super soul in the heart. All the other gurus, including ourselves, who's probably once wrote to me, this is 1969, he wrote me a letter. I sent him a check for his Bhagavad Gita, and he said, thank you very much for this contribution of love. That we are, if there's any credit, it doesn't go to me. I'm simply trying to become a servant of my spiritual master. That we're all servants of Krishna in disciplic succession, etc. And he said, then he wrote at the end, he said, please study all my books, and sometimes afterwards you'll have to help carry on the disciplic succession. In other words, that all of us were supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be reading Prabhupada's books and not only learning what to repeat, ultimately that Krishna is God and we're his servants, but trying to live the best we can, that Krishna actually is God and we are actually his servants. That is what it means to become a spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya did not make it a very difficult endeavor. He made it very simple. Simply, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna, in this way become guru. He didn't say that you have to become this or that. You become guru by repeating what you've heard. Now, Prabhupada said that. But then again, Prabhupada also cautioned us that the role of Diksha Guru, and especially in ISKCON, where everything is so bewildering sometimes, becomes more difficult. To be a Shiksha Guru is easy because no one listens to us anyhow. Advice is cheap. In other words, no one, when people come to you, oh, you're my Shiksha Guru, as long as you tell me exactly what I want to hear, I'm surrendered. I want your advice. If I like it, I accept it. If I don't, well, I give so much advice. Then there's the Diksha Guru. You're supposed to surrender yourself to the Diksha Guru. So, of course, that's a theory. And hopefully that's something that we take seriously to as much as we can. But there's a certain etiquette. In other words, at the time of initiation, we vow to follow the four legal principles and chant at least 16 rounds a day, and we vow to become a servant of the spiritual master in disciplic succession. Of course, if we look at Prabhupada's life, we can see that Prabhupada did not try to do more than teach people how to chant Hare Krishna and how to preach. He generally avoided trying to become a psychologist, sociologist, marriage counselor, physiotherapist, and whatever else is expected of our modern ISKCON gurus. But he kept it quite simple, that the whole idea was somehow or another teach people about Krishna, that Krishna is God, and we are his servants, and we should do some service, and as much as we become serious, to engage ourselves in the preaching work of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada more or less encourage people to do as much as they can. First of all, initiation really means to chant 16 rounds, follow the four legal principles, and surrender to the guru. And the guru, from my little understanding, and it, especially in ISKCON, he'd be wise, or she'd be wise, to realize that the best thing is to do is to encourage people to chant their 16 rounds, teach them how to do it, so they become Krishna conscious, and follow the regular principles, and at the same time try to encourage them according to their capacity to as much as possible to preach Krishna consciousness. And that's the main point of, part of the business, if not the whole business. Otherwise, if one tries to be everything to everyone, even Krishna would find it hard. Because even Krishna says things that people don't like. Especially he says, I'm God, and no one seems to like that. Seems to be quite a discredit. Most people think it's quite a discredit on Krishna's behalf that he keeps on claiming he's God. Because he can do it, but he seems to take it more seriously than others. So the point is, number one, is that anyone who's repeating the message of Krishna is guru. As much as we're repeating the message, then we may go from one level of guru. Namely, there's two types of instructing gurus. Chaitanya Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami points out in the Nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita on Adi Leela 147 that one is the Diksha Guru, or the Guru, he doesn't say Diksha Guru, one is the Guru who's situated in transcendence. That is, he sees everything objectively. Objectively means that he's actually on the spiritual platform of consciousness. Therefore, he has no doubts that Krishna is God. He has no doubts that the process of devotional service is the best thing that anyone can be doing. It's the only thing that anyone should be doing. Because he's feeling the ecstasy at every moment, the happiness that comes, and the awareness that comes from being Krishna conscious. And the second is, the person who sees things more objectively, the devotee, may not be completely realized, but they can give relevant instructions to help others come to a higher platform of Krishna consciousness. In any case, both are said to be the representatives of Krishna. So all of us are supposed to be at least on the second platform. That is, we all have some realization that Krishna is God and we're his servants, and Prabhupada, as we know, was fond of even pointing out that little Saraswati, 2 years old, was a bona fide guru, representative of Krishna, by telling people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, because there's the other one, Adi Leela 146, Acharya Van Vijaniyam Nava Manite Karhi Chit Namartya Suyabhudyeta Sarvadeva Mayo Guru. That one should know the initiating guru to be just like my very self. So one may be, in other words, in the Vanashram system, there is a process of diksha specifically meant for deity worship especially. The process of diksha is necessary because our habits are uncontrolled in Kali Yuga. If you haven't noticed, not only our habits, our mind is uncontrolled. And our conception of life is, well, only Krishna as the super soul really knows how many times a day we change our conceptions of life. So with all these obstacles, we need some deity worship. Deity worship means essentially surrendering our activities in the service of the deity. Of course, in this age, the holy name is also one of the principal deities. Plus the deity, of course, in the temple. So to regulate our activities, they're not exactly our activities, we have to surrender them in the service of Krishna. So the Diksha Guru helps us surrender activities. He tells us what's authorized and what's not authorized in Krishna's service. Obviously, there can be a great realm of authorization, especially since we're coming in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami, who has told us, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. That traditionally the guru would be in a little house or a hut in India, probably, in the Himalayas, maybe. And he had a small group of brahmacharis, maybe a couple of brahmacharinis somewhere to cook. Or probably not, maybe the guru's wife would be cooking. So, and they'd be teaching the Vedic culture by gathering firewood and reciting the Vedic scriptures, etc. Doesn't sound like possible in Kali Yuga. First of all, to build a house with air conditioning and heating in the Himalayas is a little difficult. And to bring up all the bodhi there is even more difficult. Besides that, it's difficult getting internet connection all the way up. And there's no airport to fly around, to fly from. So in Kali Yuga, it's a little bit more difficult to have the traditional role. So Guru Goswami said, Nirvana Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite, that we can utilize everything in Krishna's service, and by doing that, we can become Krishna conscious. But utilizing everything in Krishna's service, what is that service? What is the service? The service is the preaching mission. Therefore, Prabhupada was actually quite strict, although in one sense very liberal, and it's a question of taking it seriously. He thought that the sannyasi should go around and preach, tell people about Krishna somehow or another. He thought that the grihasthas, because, and the brahmacharis are supposed to assist the sannyasis, and the grihasthas are supposed to, if they go and make money, they're supposed to give at least some portion. Prabhupada was very specific, and even he had a different, I guess not everyone took him so seriously, but he said 50% of whatever income they get should be utilized in the preaching mission. So his idea is to sacrifice everything for the preaching mission, to spread Krishna consciousness, become guru, and tell other people about guru. And if we have to have some leader that we surrender to, some representative of the civil succession, because that's Krishna's program, none of us have made the program, that's Krishna's program, therefore they have to do the same thing. Tell everyone about Krishna, because that's their authorization to be guru. And they're supposed to tell everyone else to become guru, just like Prabhupada did. Prabhupada didn't say that my spiritual master in a dream came to me and made me guru. Did anyone ever see Prabhupada say that? Prabhupada never said that my spiritual master came to me in a dream and told me to become a guru. No, he never said that. Are you surprised? Nor did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada say, my guru came to me in a dream and told me to become guru. Where in the simple succession has that happened? Sometimes it happened. One time there was one devotee, he didn't want to become guru, Saranga Thakur, and Murari Chaitanya Thakur, and the super soul kept on telling him. I don't think we have that problem, the super soul bothering us so much. But he had a problem, the super soul himself kept on telling him, you should become guru. He said, no, it's alright. So much problem. He said, no, you got to become guru. He said, alright, next person I see, I'll make them a guru. Next person I meet. So he was bathing in the Ganges, a dead body came by, and he touched him with his foot, made him his first disciple. He came alive. So most of us won't have that problem. In any case, the authorization to become guru is that as soon as you are in our society, in our movement, in our disciple succession, you automatically have the eligibility to become guru as soon as you start preaching Krishna consciousness. To become a Diksha Guru, the etiquette is that after the spiritual master leaves, in the absence, not to, Prabhupada said, the law of the simple succession is that during the spiritual master's presence, one should not become guru. One should bring the prospective disciples to the spiritual master. And in his absence, after he disappears, then they're eligible to become guru and make disciples as much as possible. But that eligibility is also there. As Prabhupada said, one should understand what level of devotional service one is on. And one should also understand what level of service others are on. Then he says that, well, this is right after this Nectar of Devotion instruction, chapter 5, where he says the Uttama Adhikari, one who understands that Krishna and his name are non-different, that he's eligible to become guru. And he's eligible to accept all contributions, especially the brahmacharis that go out and they collect alms and give it to the spiritual master. But no one should imitate the Uttama Adhikar. Otherwise, they'll sure to fall down. And he says that everyone should understand what is their actual position and what is the position of others. It should not be a big mystery. That's why we have these books. That's why we're studying them, to understand everything clearly. It's not supposed to be a big confusion, all these things. Then he says, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that one is able to convert many people into Vaishnavas, he should be understood to be a first-class devotee. He said the second class, even the third-class devotees, they can also accept disciples, but it should be understood that such disciples cannot advance very well due to his insufficient guidance. Therefore, one should be very careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as a spiritual master. So the point is, there may be many different, well, the definition for Uttama Adhikari is there in Prabhupada's books. Sometimes the definition of different levels of first class, third class, and first class preachers may be there also. But the point is that in any case, even a second or a third class or a first class devotee can accept disciples. But it should be understood that such disciples cannot advance very well due to his insufficient guidance. Now, that leaves us a question. Are initiating gurus first class? Are they second class? Or are they third class? Are we going to come out with a statement defining everyone? That's usually a great fear within our society, that as soon as we start analyzing everyone, the tendency of all the third class devotees is to either make everyone third, last, well, no class, that these disciples of Prabhupada, they're such rascals, we can't even put them into even the third class category. Or to make them Uttama Adhikaris, they all must be Uttama Adhikaris, otherwise why would Prabhupada appoint them all as Diksha Gurus? So we tend to go to an extreme. Either you're black or you're white. And if you're in between, you don't belong in our society. Because then you make everything confusing and everything's supposed to be simple. So either you're divine, you're as good as, you are God, or you're a rascal. And in between that, it's hard to figure out. Makes things very complicated. But the point is, the job of the Diksha Guru, as I said, the job of the Shiksha Gurus, the job of all the devotees in the society is to make things simple as possible by becoming convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and sincerely taking up the process for ourselves of sadhana bhakti. Whether we're first class or second class or no class, whatever, the process does work. And Prabhupada showed that it doesn't matter what class you're in. It doesn't matter who's giving you the instructions. Prabhupada set up a society where from the very beginning, his instructions were there, the instructions of the predecessor acharyas, and he gave the practical job of managing the society to his disciples from the very beginning, practically, of the society. And he instructed them not only to preach, but also to manage the society. And he tried to correct when everything was going sometimes off too much. But in any case, the whole idea of the society is to work cooperatively, basically to carry on Prabhupada's principles he already established within us. We don't have to invent new principles. There's enough principles we probably don't even know about. There's probably enough principles we already know about that we're not following. We don't have to invent anything new. We don't need some Uttama Adhikari, you know, all self-realized spiritual master, self-effulgent devotee to tell us what's already there. We already know. We already know we're supposed to chant 16 rounds. We already know we're supposed to hear and chant about Krishna. We already know there should be a Gurukul. There should be farm projects. There should be extensive book distribution. These things we already know. we already more or less we know within our society what services we should be doing, what services we can assist on doing, and usually our problem is that we have too many other things to do, and sometimes we're not as enthusiastic about doing what we know we should be doing. So of course the role of the Diksha Guru, the role of the Shiksha Gurus, the role of every devotee is to encourage ourselves and encourage others to understand what the process is, namely hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, and that's the process. Not a difficult process. The difficulty is getting enough ecstasy, getting enough control of our mind and senses so that when we hear about Krishna, when we chant about Krishna, that we'll actually remember Krishna in such a way as to feel Krishna's presence. And once we actually feel Krishna's presence, feel the happiness that Krishna feels, feel the happiness that Krishna's devotees feel, once we actually do that, once we get a taste for making the devotees happy, making Krishna happy, once we get a taste for that, then we'll gradually lose our taste for other things. So from the very beginning of our society, we're following the instructions of Prabhupada, we're following the instructions of his representatives to make Krishna happy by chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, spreading Krishna's message, and making the devotees happy, giving them prasadam, telling them about Krishna, hearing about Krishna from them, offering prasadam, accepting prasadam, and telling our realizations about Krishna. Vidati prati grinati guyam akiti prishati bhunte bojayate shaiva chadvidam prati laksana, and giving them the gift of Krishna consciousness and accepting that gift from them. So everything is already there. If the devotees take seriously all of us, our positions, and try and carry it out. As Prabhupada, if we look at his life, it was very simple. He got up in the morning, he chanted Hare Krishna. He gave class many times. He went on morning walks and talked about Krishna, kept his body as healthy as he could. And then he told, during the day, he'd take a massage. He'd tell people about Krishna, talk to people about Krishna. At night, he'd take a little milk and hear about Krishna. And then he'd get up in the morning and, write books about Krishna. It wasn't very complicated. He didn't go out with his mystic power and go, I'll make all you pure devotees. Next batch, all you become pure devotees. Next batch, blessings, ashu. No, it was a very simple life, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and Prabhupada was always thinking about Krishna. He saw Krishna as Krishna's activities were going on in the Sankirtan movement, and within he was remembering Krishna by following his instructions. So all of us were supposed to do that. To make Prabhupada up there, Prabhupada's so far up there for the next 10,000 years, he's the only one up there. It's almost like there's a religion who says that there's a certain number of people who are going to be saved. Unfortunately, there's many more people in that religion than the people who are going to be saved. So that makes, but somehow or another they adjust their consciousness in such a way, their understanding. They don't mind being in a religion and working hard, knowing that they're never going to be saved. Because after all, the people who are supposed to be saved are already saved. There's only that number and the rest of them are all going to be doomed. But they're working hard anyhow. So similarly, this idea that Prabhupada is so up there that no one can possibly get that high, and therefore the rest of us are doomed to failure for the rest of Kali Yuga. The only hope is that when the little guys, the little pygmies are eating us, we'll remember Krishna at that time, at the end of Kali Yuga, because, Prabhupada is so far up there, and therefore we'll get a chance in Satya Yuga to take up the process of devotional service. Or Prabhupada's, just an ordinary person, he's just an old man from India, he came along, he had frustrations against, homosexuals and women because of his conservative background, and he preached against everyone, modern society, he didn't like women, he didn't like this, he didn't like that, and therefore we have to readjust Prabhupada's books because they just don't fit modern society. They're meant for old Indian people coming from some other culture. So either Prabhupada was so up there, whatever he did, you know, no one could duplicate, or he's just kind of like, he's a little bit above that, above us, because, you know, we have to give the old person a break. Be kind to him. But ultimately, you really got to look outside Prabhupada to find out what Prabhupada was trying to say. He tried to write in his book, he tried to say it, but, you know, he just didn't know how to say it because he was in a new culture. He didn't know what was going on. So we're looking around for someone who actually knew what it was all about. And luckily, some of Prabhupada's, you know, godbrothers or, you know, his disciples of his godbrothers, although they didn't hardly do anything before Prabhupada, suddenly they got inspired and realized what Prabhupada was trying to say. And now he's trying, you know, what Prabhupada couldn't tell us when he was here, now they've been empowered to tell us now that he disappeared. But it's not really like that so much. Neither, I mean, Prabhupada was completely, from my experience, was completely on the transcendental platform. But we're also supposed to be on the transcendental platform. And all his instructions were meant to help us come to that platform, to actually love Krishna, to actually meet Krishna face to face and begin our real lives again. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna. We have a different identity than the one that we think we have now. And if we utilize this identity, we agree to let Krishna utilize this as an instrument, we'll discover who we really are, and when we wake up, we can actually begin to live again, rather than simply dreaming that we're this false identity. Now, this false identity has a problem because it's completely outside of our control. It's under the modes of nature, or if we surrender, it becomes under Krishna's. Now, it's quite frustrating having a material identity under the modes of material nature, where you can't win and you can't break even, where you're doomed to lose. No matter how nice we are, no matter how nice everyone else thinks we are, the fact is everyone's a loser in the material world. In America, when one is arrested and put into jail, they're called losers. And sometimes they get arrested more than once, they're called two-time losers or three-time losers. Well, we're in a lot worse shape than they are. Mama Janmani, Janmanishwar. We've been around for a long time. But the fact is, if we surrender to Krishna, we'll no longer be a loser. We'll wake up. And we're all supposed to wake up. That's why Prabhupada came. That's why Lord Chaitanya sent him. And Prabhupada's teachings are ultimately quite simple. They're not against anyone in particular. They're not against homosexuals or women. They're not against blacks or whites or greens or yellows. They're not against anyone. They're against sense gratification. They're meant to convince us that whoever we think we are, that's who we really aren't. We're actually Krishna's servants, and that we should utilize whatever energies we have in Krishna's servants. Therefore, we'll no longer think we're black or white or red or yellow. We won't think we're any of these things, because that's just an illusion. We'll realize that we're actually eternally Krishna's servants. So there are certain ideas, and along with those ideas, there are certain habits and activities that are not conducive to realizing our eternal identity. And that's what the Bhagavatam is against. Not against any particular group of people, because they happen to inherit that particular conditioned state of being. The Bhagavatam is against utilizing that particular situation and utilizing it for sense gratification rather than Krishna's service. And anyone who does that, then they become glorious. Therefore, whether it be someone like the prostitute in Haridas Thakura's pastimes who became a pure devotee, a pure Vaishnavi, or it's someone like Dhruva Maharaj who became a pure devotee. They're glorified, not because they're male or female, or black or white, or rich or poor. They're glorified because they surrendered to Krishna. And they're condemned, like Ramachandra Puri or others, because they didn't surrender to Krishna. Doesn't matter who they were and what they were doing, the whole idea was somehow or another, yena tena pakarena mana Krishna nideshaya. Utilize whatever energies we have and utilize them in Krishna's service. Just to summarize my points, the first point is that all of us, by hearing the knowledge coming into simple succession, then we're supposed to become gurus. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked us to spread this mission, to tell people about Krishna. And after the disappearance of the spiritual master, the Diksha Guru, then his disciples, they're eligible to become Diksha Gurus according to their what their eligibility is deemed. Now in our particular case, we have the GBC, and they're supposed to make the decisions. As Prabhupada didn't make any decisions, who would be authorized to initiate after his disappearance, he left that up to the GBC. The GBC authorized 11 of Prabhupada's disciples to initiate after he left, and then they authorized more of them based upon whatever criteria they're authorizing them on. But all of Prabhupada's disciples are eligible, but the criteria is decided upon by the GBC. The Diksha Guru, his job is principally, his first initiation, to encourage his disciples to chant at least 16 rounds and follow four of the principles. And second initiation, his job is especially to see that their activities are dedicated to the preaching mission, to the worship of the Guru and the deity in this age, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, principally, the holy names. Then life becomes simple. Otherwise, we get millions of philosophies. Everyone's bad, no one's good, or everyone's perfect, and there's no sense of doing anything because, you know, all you do is get some blessings from somewhere, and you're supposed, the Guru, just sit in the fire initiation, the sacrifice, throw all your sinful reactions, knowingly or unknowingly, at the poor Guru who's sitting there, let him absorb them, turn, you know, some color or something after the initiation. And then we're free. I'm free. I'll chant my rounds, just, you know, snick, snick, Hare Krishna, and my sinful reactions are gone, and I'm going back to the spiritual world, just got to stick in there somehow or another. And if I get more sinful reactions and, or activities, and just kind of offer them. Swaha. And everything will be cool. Conclusion is, we should study Prabhupada's books. Everything should become very simple. We should dedicate ourselves to the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should follow the principles of devotional service. That will inspire us to preach, not only to the people on the outside. Krishna says, those who are preaching to my devotees, they're very dear to me. They become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So all these people, even in Radha Desh, even the visitors who come, if we see that they're devotees, and we try and serve them and preach to them, then we become dear to Krishna also. It's not like the only place that's sacred is the street, and the temple is like we're surrounded by people who are pretending to be something like devotees. We have to go out there and preach to the real devotees, people on the street. So that we have to become inspired by following the process, fixing our minds upon Krishna, feeling happiness by serving Krishna, by remembering Krishna. Tell the devotees about that happiness. Tell the innocent people about that happiness. Try to avoid the atheistic people who are trying to get into our minds by the internet, by the magazines, the television, by the movies, by so many different ways. Try to avoid them as much as possible. Become inspired to preach about Krishna consciousness. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become pleased. Our disciples of succession will be pleased, we'll remember the Panchatattva, and we'll enter into Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the mood of separation, and our lives will become perfect. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, by the way.
What are you all going to study when you do the Guru Tattva?
How do we do it? Well, we have Rasamandala Puru, Rajabihari, Anutama Puru, Hanuman Puru. They've made different seminars in the past. So then we have, I think, Jayapataka Maharaj is coming. I think Bhakti Chuan Maharaj is coming. Yeah, he should be coming. Radhanath Maharaj should be coming. And Ravindra Sarup Puru is coming. And then we sit around and we just, whatever they tell us to do, we do. Because they know the process. I don't know more than that.
What about the churn?
Yeah. I think we'll probably try and limit it because he will go over whatever they tell us to do. I think the first thing Brahma Vihari said was we should try and figure out a different name for the seminar. Yeah, should be interesting. Mejor no hablar mucho porque necesitas de traducir.
Okay. Cuando estás en Pakistán, tienes con la gente directamente una conversación más directa con Krishna.
Okay. That you have with people like a direct realization about Krishna when you are with people.
Si estás aquí, pues en el templo o con la secretaria.
No es that you just stay in the temple with the people.
Entonces, ¿cuál es la posición del Sankirtan?
Then, which one is the position of the Sankirtan? What is the position of Sankirtan?
Well, we're thinking that we can only have a realization of Krishna when we're on Sankirtan. But luckily, Krishna is in more places than just Sankirtan. He happens to be in the deity. When Lord Chaitanya saw the deity, he fell unconscious in ecstasy, even without selling the deity a book. So Lord Chaitanya's service to the deity may be different from our service. But we have to come to understand how to serve the deity to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footsteps. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya associated with Ramananda Roy and others like Srup Damodar or other personalities, by hearing about Krishna, he was in ecstasy. So the book, we not only have to distribute the books, we have to live in what's in the books. Because the advantage of book distribution is there's more of a tendency to depend upon Krishna for the service. To remember that we're Krishna's eternal servant. And outside of that situation, we may have less of a tendency, that's all. But we have to develop that tendency, so that not only in that service we have that tendency, but we always have that tendency. Tendency to rely upon Krishna. To take shelter of Krishna, to become Krishna's instrument. Knowing that we can't accomplish anything unless we're Krishna's instruments. Now, in the association of devotees, sometimes we get familiar. We start thinking, well, I know this person and I can do whatever I want. But that dependence upon Krishna has to be there upon the instructions. And then when we understand what Krishna wants us to do, we do that to please Him. Then every situation will become just like Sankirtan. Prabhupada says, check desire and anger. When you stay steady on the position of pure devotional service, then he's elevated to the transcendental platform. So in the material world, we're generally due to our association and our past conditioning, the tendency towards desire and anger arises very easily. And therefore we lose track of devotional service. We become forgetful of the fact that I should be doing this activity to please Krishna according to what Krishna wants us to do. Instead we wind up serving desire and anger, attachment and aversion. So when we're put in positions where we're forced to rely upon Krishna, and to that extent, we're purified of that tendency towards desire and anger. Because Krishna will let you, generally doesn't let us distribute books unless we're sincere, generally. So we're forced to purify our consciousness to become sincere, because otherwise we don't have the potency to convince others about Krishna. and because the very nature of book distribution is that we have to develop a desire to convince others, therefore we have to become sincere. But in the Association of Devotees offering, we don't feel like we have to convince anyone of anything. Therefore, we're not very much intent on either setting a good example or preaching or doing anything. We're just trying to either enjoy the devotees' association one way or another, or we dislike them because they interfere with our enjoyment. Therefore, we develop attachment aversion in relation to the devotees. And the problem is that there doesn't seem to be a reaction. It's not like I offend this devotee and suddenly from the sky, zoom, comes a thunderbolt. Ah! Krishna, sorry! It's not quite like that. It's subtle. The worst that happens, we lose our taste to attend the program. We think, I don't want to listen to this devotee. We should get a seat from Loknath Maharaj. I can't sit up here with you down there. Therefore, we, in our association with devotees, we have to be servant of the disciples' succession. Otherwise, familiarity breeds contempt. We already think we know who we're dealing with, but actually we're not dealing with who we think we're dealing with. We're actually dealing with Krishna's eternal servants. In my room, there's one picture that helps me remember what's going on. There's a picture of Sudama Vipra sitting on a seat, and Lord Krishna is taking some water and doing abhishek, I guess, to Sudama. And Rukmini Devi is standing there with a pot of water assisting Lord Krishna in the service of bathing Sudama's feet. And Lord Krishna looks quite the servant of his devotee. So that Krishna, you know, that old man on the throne, ready to throw the thunderbolt, or the old Narayan, the old controller, here he is, he's a humble servant of his devotees, simply trying to find out. So that's our job, is to think ourselves to be the humble servant of the devotees. And if we develop that attitude, then we can make actual tangible advancement. Otherwise, we think we're something other than the servants of the devotees. We start imagining that the devotees are here for my enjoyment, or they're my enemies, or they're impediments for my whatever we think we're here for. Then it's very difficult to make advancement. Then we'll think, let me go on book distribution and get purified from all this devotee association. That will not be a very good consciousness. I used to do that all the time. Not that I don't do it now. I had one devotee, and I said, I think I mentioned it before, in my temple. He thought his only service, this is in 1970, he thought his only service was to cook prasadam, all these rare, costly delicacies, offer them to the deity and eat them all for himself. That he thought, he was convinced that was his only service. And it was very, you know, we didn't have that much money, but what to speak, everyone was supposed to go on book distribution. I was even more fanatical than I am now. And I couldn't, you know, I was convinced everyone was supposed to go on book distribution. So every day before I went out, I had one ritual. I'd get into a fight with this devotee. I had one ritual every day. Before I go out, I get into a fight with this devotee. Although every day it agitated my mind like anything. He'd take out a letter that Prabhupada wrote to him. His whole defense was, Prabhupada wrote a letter, and at the end of the letter said, "You're a sincere devotee." So So he said, Prabhupada said, I'm a sincere devotee. Who are you to tell me to go on Bhutta Sushi? Who are you to tell me my service of making all these preparations and eating them is not sincere? So after some time of doing this, I realized, my God, it takes me around 2 hours before my mind, of doing this book distribution, before my mind kind of quiets down and I'm able to do the service. Maybe I shouldn't fight with him. So Sri Krishna, please. I give up. So I think I stopped fighting with him. In any case, Krishna made the arrangements and he, you know, we had a good reason to ask him to leave. But the point is, we have to learn how to become Krishna conscious in all circumstances, not in only special ones. Although the special ones, especially like Bhukta Sushan, are ideal because it's just like holding a mirror in front of you. You go out there, I'm a pure devotee, I've come here to save you all. And I have all the techniques, I know exactly what to say. You go out there and they go, hey, who do you, and the first person goes, really, who do you think you really are? Do you really think I'm going to take you seriously? And until you go, oh, Krishna, I really haven't bought it. Help! I don't want to stand at it. 2 more hours of this. Let me do something in Krishna consciousness. It's a humbling experience usually for would you like to say something about that one?
Yeah,
it's a question.
I'm just happy.
No. He's speaking. That was El Blando. Lokanath Maharaj ki.
For the good fortune and I providence mercy, I did not even know. During my visit of Radha Base, different relationships. Most of you have it. The same family, but some are. We have brothers, we have children. Sometimes the children try to travel the whole position of their father. Very little of things left for the brothers. But anyway, our plan is good. Yeah. means one who expands. The word, literal meaning of via means expander, one who expands. The glories of the Lord are comments and realization is performed. I think Maharaj is representative of our connection is through Prabhupada. She's representing Prabhupada. So she's representing the I was thinking how every representative of Vyas is Vyas in a sense he expands, he spreads the glories of Krishna. Vyas compiles and gives his interpretation, explanation. And each devotee is that has his own realization. And then he shares and expands. Each representative is very unique. The Lord Master Maharaj is no exception. He's unique in his style of presentation. There's no one else. There's no one like the Lord Master. If I say so, this is the truth. Now there's no exaggeration. There's only one Prahlada Maharaj. And he is expanding Krishna's glories by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, original Vyasa books. And he has his deep convictions and realizations about Krishna. He has his language, not only English language, but he has his body language that he uses to communicate that for the purpose and the conviction. So, isn't he bad? Huh? That's a bad. We are worshipping that. We are worshipping the presence of the is the glory of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the legacy of Prabhupada. If it was just Prabhupada and that's it, full stop, period, and that's not as glorious as it is. Is happening, Prabhupada, and he's the president, he is there, and there will be the president, and it goes on, generation after generation after generation, and it's not a concoction or speculation. This is eternal arrangement, and it is happening here. So the glory of Prabhupada, so this Vyas Puja is the glory of, we are glorifying Prabhupada, glorifying the tree of Vyas Puja, as we worship the presence of Vyas and Srila Prabhupada. This is to be more limited to Bharat Varsha or India side, this Vyas Puja or Vyasa. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the kind of vision Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has or predictions, and he's now planting representatives for the planet so that his predictions could eventually come true. Maharaj, I deeply respect my brother Maharaj. I just found out we were born in the same year. when he was doing fast for 2 months out of the year. But he also was faster to join Prabhupada. He was the first one to join, but he might follow. He's a minister, I'm also a minister, but he has 2 ministries, only how many one.
He made an extra one. We can share one of them. Yeah. Padiatra and health will be good.
So, Narayan is very learned devotee. Study of the Shastras, especially he has been gifted with good memory, the way he can memorize and reproduce texts as they are. Sometimes the message Prabhupada wrote to Maharaj, instead of reading what Prabhupada wrote, he just speaks. So that means that he's empowered, his vibhuti, especially gifted, sometimes by Rosh Maharaj, but I learned out good language. I have learned, sometimes learned some technique how to remember things and memorize things. And I'm thankful in the past to have been able to take that memorize. So, in so many possible ways, I consider him as my senior brother. I have deep respect for him. And I'm very happy that I was able to be present here on this occasion. The occasion when his disciples, our disciples, a recommitment, surrender, and the discipline that you have been following, you have been taught. That's who that is that day. Rededicate yourself unto your spiritual master. Give your commitment, recommitted. It's not just because of the birthday, so we have birthday celebration. That person is glorified, or should be glorified on his birthday for the accomplishments of that devotee. Accomplishments of all lifelong accomplishments, or even accomplishments from last Vyas Puja to this Vyas Puja. So Maharaj is every day moving on, extensively traveling, and ministering work, and writing projects for health and yoga, and now learning music. Every day, and distribution of books. RGB member for Europe, and many responsibilities. He's shown the ring. And all those responsibilities are taking note of or going by. So, this is another, the calendar, this day, entered into the prison house. And there's nothing glorious, but worldly people are glorified. They're only there. There's nothing glorious. Things related with Krishna, Krishna consciousness are only glorious. The devotees are glorious because they are easy. Accomplishing things for Krishna, establishing principles of karma, for many, many things are similar, the credit of life, the last 1 year of life, so it's only appropriate that some little knowledge and some time praise to the offered on the occasion like this today. So I'm happy that we have been here to explain the standard state, part of our dharma, part of our dharma, which is a step forward in realizing the dharma of the prediction of saying the holy name, holy message, and holy scriptures, and holy prasad, and holy man, in every town of this. So, honor to be present here. Now, I was thinking on an occasion like this, the person who is birthday celebrated there is even more magnanimous. I have come to refer to the relatives of Maharaj. In prayer, carry on, go on, with our family, or with our brotherhood. They have gone out for 35 years, some more years ago. I wish long life. Charadaha Pashema. May you see 100 autumn.
Well, on Radha Day, she'd see it every other day. Thank you, Maharaj. Lokanath Maharaj ki.
I have to move on, otherwise I would have loved to be here to anything that
person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and sure to attain spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activity, in which the consummation is absolute, and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Constantly absorbed in transcendental knowledge, you look outward only for the purpose of assessing how you can share your Krishna conscious realizations and happiness. You are deeply concerned about the influence of Kali Yuga in the world and how it affects those trying to practice Krishna consciousness. You observe that many among us who are practicing Krishna consciousness are not willing or able to give our full attention and commitment to the process. With compassion, insight, clarity, and humor, you tirelessly repeat Srila Prabhupada's instructions, relating them to the harsh realities of Kali Yuga, while always urging us to take fully to the Krishna consciousness means for escaping them. How patience and compassion. You are exactly the kind of son that Srila Prabhupada is proud of. You are truly worthy of the nomenclature that Srila Prabhupada said. As the face of ISKCON changes in so many ways, you remain the emblem of a simple, pure-hearted, strict, and humble Vaishnava. Your reputation is impeccable, for you are very careful not to implicate yourself in any situation or activity that could negatively affect your service to Srila Prabhupada, especially your service of preaching Krishna consciousness whenever required, which is always. It is disciples of your caliber who illuminate the darkness of Kali Yuga and force reluctant fools like me to acknowledge that the only stumbling block to advancement in Krishna consciousness exists within my own contaminated head. You are an example of Ahaitiki Aprityanta devotional service. Kindly bless me that I may be able to pick up your mood and follow in your footsteps, which are always moving behind Srila Prabhupada, who is leading you in the direction of Goloka Vrindavan. When Maharaj is speaking, I was also thinking that I would also like to ask the blessing that I can be part of this extension, because sometimes or the tendency to get caught up in what's going on in my life now and not realize my commitment either to the past or to the future. So I'd like to also ask you today to pray for me and to bless me that I can recommit myself to being a kind of Vaishnava that you exemplify, and that I can become affixed again in the conception of making simple practice of Krishna consciousness the main focus of my life. I think I've lost it right now. So I would ask you to pray that, pray for me and bless me. Thank you.
So luckily we have in Friday the Association Mother Jai Bhadra. It's very rare nowadays, and probably and undoubtedly become rarer, to have senior disciples of Prabhupada, but to speak of senior Matajis who are fixed in Krishna consciousness. It said that even though if a tree is very old, it becomes somehow or another valuable just by being old. Just by being fixed in service to Krishna for so many years indicates a lot of sincerity. And sometimes if someone is getting a lot of material, I guess the word is facility, or a lot of material praise and honor, then if they have a reason, material reason, for sticking to their service, because after all, it's a better job than you can get outside. But if someone is not getting so much praise and honor and material facility, and yet due to their dedication to Prabhupada and his mission, year after year go on with their service, Krishna says that's the price for entering into the kingdom of God. So someone like Mother Jai Bhadra, who's steadily year after year going on with her service,
trying to preach Krishna consciousness, trying to do service to Prabhupada, then certainly she becomes worthy of our respect. And as Krishna's instrument, then we should also develop some kind of service, not only appreciation, but also kind of service attitude towards Mother Jayabhadra to make her service easier. If you're a preacher, and everyone says, oh, thank you very much for your words, but forget about following them, then it's not so encouraging. We like to hear you speak, but we don't want to hear you speak so much that you're going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. So we should just remember your place. You're not my guru. So we should also develop some kind of service attitude towards the senior devotees. That way they'll become more encouraged not only to be senior devotees, but also be more encouraged to preach to us, give us some more insights into Krishna consciousness. They have a lot of realizations because just by the years of practicing Krishna consciousness. But they'll reveal those realizations if people are actually showing that they're a little humble. Someone comes up to you and goes, yeah, tell me something I don't want to do. Just see if I'm going to do it. And they have an attitude of more or less defiance. It's very hard for them to reveal their hearts because our Krishna gives us realizations due to the tenderness and surrender of our heart, not due to our more or less our arrogance or our material consciousness. So those realizations that the advanced devotees have come from their surrender, their dedication. So we want to, if they'll be able to share them with us, if we develop the same feelings of surrender and dedication, humbleness, and soft-heartedness that they got their realizations from. Otherwise, as we approach anyone, they reciprocate. So we have to be, especially when we have a valuable jewel, that we should be careful that we handle it carefully so we can understand just how valuable it is. We take a valuable jewel and we just throw it into the drawer to accumulate dust, then it will forget about how valuable the jewel is and we won't be able to take advantage of it. So senior devotees like Mother Jayabhadra, they should certainly be handled very carefully. They should be served and appreciated so that their realizations in Krishna consciousness can manifest and the devotees that way can make substantial spiritual advancement. Mother Jayabhadra ki jai. Oh, thank you.
You got me. I hope you're
gold.
I hope you don't stop me. You have to come in.
You've memorized it for some reason?
Say
like the name
of God. Dear Gaudanda Maharaj, I offer my humble obeisances at your lotus feet because they always follow the path of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a Vaishnava who is dear to the Lord, you are a wish-fulfilling tree. Whoever takes the opportunity to associate with you will get benefited beyond his expectations. You are a role model that each of us can follow according to our own capacity and personal situation. Your name gives us a shape of your transcendental qualities and activities. And I am writing, I'm a world juggler, so I thought, okay, let me do raw juggling for something useful to glorify Adiya Vaishnava. So in each letter I'm mentioning one quality or activity. P. Preacher. You travel all over the world to distribute the jewels of devotional service to Krishna. R. Representative of Krishna. You are loyal to Srila Prabhupada and to Krishna in all your appearances. You represent them by repeating their message. A. Authority. You always communicate the message of Krishna and Guru as revealed in the Shastras. Therefore, you are an authority to be followed. H. Health provider. You take care of both the spiritual and physical health of the devotees. L. Lifelong committed. You have surrendered your life to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A. Austere. You perform tapodivyam, divine austerity. This makes you joy. D. Discipline. Your regular habits are an excellent example of the Yuktahara Viharasya verse in the service of Krishna. A. Accountable. Even though you have a big position in ISKCON as a spiritual master, sannyasi, and DVC minister, you are exemplary in your accountability to all levels of authority. N. Narottama. You are among the best of the human beings, a Narottama Vaishnava, who follows and teaches the path of pure love of Godhead. A. Acharya. You teach by your personal example. N. Noble. Your heart is generous, courageous, and honorable. D. Deliverer of conditioned souls. By your preaching and example, you are delivering knowingly, or even unknowingly, many jivas. A. Amusing. You have a good sense of humor. You laugh and make us laugh about the illusion of this material world. Now we want to the Swami. S. Swimmer. You swim in the ocean. W. Wealthy. You are a millionaire. You have more jewels of transcendental meditation than can be counted. A. Amicable. You extend your friendship and goodwill to everyone. M. Master of the senses. Your senses are fully engaged in the service of the Supreme Master. I. Intelligent. Due to the enlightenment the Lord gives you, your intelligence is brilliant. Your incredible memory is applied in the remembrance of Krishna and his instructions. If your name will be longer, we could continue writing more about your beautiful qualities and activities in the service of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. I have written just some of them. I take the opportunity to pray for your blessings to become a selfless servant of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Your servant, His Holiness Tolerant Swami Maharaj Ki
Jai!
Jaranandana Prabhu Ki
Jai!
Why means always youthful. Eighth, why means he's always youthful. Jaranandana. A means he's advisor to all the so many devotees. D means that he dances in ecstasy all the time. U means he's united with Srila Prabhupada's movement. and his desires. And he never says the same thing twice. Second 80s. Although he's austere, he knows how to enjoy Krishna consciousness. N means he never says the same thing twice. D is for his devotion to his spiritual master and to his movement, and to Srila Prabhupada's movement. A means he's always anxious to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And N means he never does anything which is not pleasing to the devotees. And the other A is for he's an awfully nice devotee. A means the devotee is very nice. Very nice in that Prabhu ki. He's one of our transcendental. He always reminds me of the Kumar brothers. He has three other brothers. He's transcendentally unlimited like they are.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Oh, Glorious Sir Prabhupada, let me thank Krishna for bringing me in contact with such a wonderful spiritual master. With your blissful singing and your meaningful lectures, which are full of Krishna Katha, you inspire me a lot to continue my service here in Radhadesa. Although I'm not qualified, I pray that I may continue serving you and Sri Chaitanya to the best of my capacity. I also beg forgiveness for the offenses made by me to you and the devotees. Hare Krishna. So, come to you.
Part of the guy's mercy is all these flowers. In early days, they say the flower children. I'm not going to say so much because from now on, otherwise Prashadam will be late. Mahaprabhu will get angry at us for not being in time for the Harina.
To write something, but as a good illustrative point of my ignorance, I left Amsterdam this morning and half fell asleep while driving to Radhadesa, so I decided to rest a little bit. I put my alarm at 1 hour so I could have easily made it, but apparently because I went that late, 12 o'clock, I didn't hear the alarm or I didn't do it properly. So I just arrived here at 11:30 or something like that, missing probably the most essential point of your lecture. It is not to be full of self-criticism or to be full of self-pity here, but it illustrates a point which I experienced last years while doing my service in Amsterdam. When you spoke about Rainbow Distribution and Moon Sankirtan, I realized that you are always there with essential instructions which you directly receive from Srila Prabhupada, and it amazes me if you write something or if you speak, how loyal and how faithful you are to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and how difficult it is for me sometimes that you are so faithful to his instructions, and that might appear contradictory, but for instance, that illustrated point very well, I think. You wrote an article a time ago about dual authority structure in ISKCON, about positions of guru, and that they should not try to manipulate their disciples to manage and to arrange a yatra, and that we should faithfully always serve our authority. And that's what I understand as one of your most essential instructions. So I try to always take that to heart, but here I am in Amsterdam right now, in a place which I think easily call one of the most degraded places in Amsterdam, overwhelmed by all the things which are happening, and with hardly any time to write to you and to ask your opinion about certain things and about certain decisions which are being made by the authority. So a while ago I came to Radhadas, and sometimes I feel that I don't want to burden you with all these kind of things. Amsterdam is such a strange place. To illustrate that, I have an apartment right now, and it's an apartment where many Yankees are living. So twice there was a break-in into the mobile home, all things got lost. My neighbor upstairs, he urinates downstairs to the balcony of the persons who are living upstairs. And there was a junkie trying to break in the middle of the day with his hand through the mailbox. And it's such a crazy place. So I feel myself completely overwhelmed by these things. And last time when I tried to discuss these things with you, then you always come to the same things. Okay, you do things according to the authorities and I'm not involved. And I felt that I must be doing something terribly wrong. When you wrote this article, I felt so proud to have you as a spiritual master, and that may sound strange because I never felt proud of my country or something like that, or the only time when I... I never felt proud of anything, but when you wrote this article about what the proper behavior is, what the proper service attitude to the Vaishnavas is, and how we should perform our service, how we should preach, and how we should deal with the devotees, that I felt so proud that you wrote this article, because it was exactly the idea which I thought Prabhupada put forward in his conversations and in his lectures. But then I discussed it with somebody, and because we were discussing the directory of management instructions of Prabhupada relating to Amsterdam management. And in relation to that, I let him read your article, or I gave your article to him for a week. And I was ashamed to notice that when I saw the IRM magazine, that your article was completely cut to pieces, commented upon out of context, and I thought, oh my God, do I have something to do with this horrible kind of thing? And I really thought that I must have made somewhere a terrible mistake, because you are so faithful to the instructions of Prabhupada and to the authority structure, and you always give us these instructions like you did in your lecture right now. So somehow or another, I feel torn apart. With one leg I stand in the boat of your instructions to do Sankirtan, and in the other to try to maintain Amsterdam, which is practically kind of an impossible thing. So I would like to ask your blessing that I can continue my service a little bit longer, because I think that is the desire of the devotees, and I want you to know that even though all my shortcomings and mistakes, I try to take that instruction of faithfully serving the Vaishnavas, doing my service under the guidance of Rida Chaitanya Prabhu, Mother Sevita Prabhu, the senior Vaishnavas in Amsterdam. I try to take that to heart, because actually in Amsterdam there is nothing which really pleases me. If it would be up to my material nature, I would be rather here in Radhas, associating with the devotees, like you said in your lecture, enjoying the association of the devotees. And sometimes in Amsterdam, I just only feel like saying, please help me.
So Krishna has put you into the right position. Fine, it puts us a Queen Kunti. Luckily, you don't have, no one's trying to take you sorry or maybe everything else. Yeah, my only advice is find a better apartment. What's the RM name?
That's the magazine of the Richard.
Who is it? Oh. Well, they printed my article. Maybe you can give me a copy of it.
Yeah.
Demonstrating your equality to all, you always attend the class, even if the
if the speaker is a junior devotee, you will humbly listen and offer meaningful comments. Srila Prabhupada gave you the name Praladananda, which means cheerful as Prahlad Maharaj, and everyone who knows of your holiness, who knows your holiness, remembers the joyfulness of your preaching and the happiness of your audience. During our annual preaching tour in the Balkan states, I remember your tolerance, the constant changing weather conditions, the harassment of border officers, moving from one place to another at least every 3 days, long car drives followed by preaching programs immediately after arrival, different cooking styles, etc. It did never affect your mood. On the contrary, you remain soft-hearted in all conditions. Your association is a blessing. Just by writing this offering, I realize the greatness of your personality and therefore pray for your compassion, your eternal servant, Vilas.
Just like the Supas Association, I was able to tolerate. Every year we go to the Balkans, which means Bulgaria, Serbia, Macedonia. Now we're going to go to Romania and Bosnia. So quite a big tour for a month, or 3 weeks sometimes. 3 weeks. But still, by Lila Sukhapur's Association, I'm able to stay little calm. And once in a while we do get prasadam, so that helps too. But there's nice devotees there, so it's a nice place to visit. Besides the fact, Lila Sukhapur pays my flight there. I have nothing to complain about. Devotees are supposed to know the expert languages.
Querido Guru Maharaj,
not for me, for them.
En el Bhagavad Gita, Krishna le dice a Arjuna, tan solo trata de aprender la verdad acudiendo al maestro espiritual.
Approaching his spirit.
Just try to learn the truth.
By approaching his spirit.
Hazle preguntas de un modo sumiso
y
préstale servicio. Las almas autorrealizadas pueden impartirte conocimiento porque han visto la verdad. Por seguir esas pautas, es decir, ser inquisitivo y servirte fielmente, es que puedo obtener la recompensa más grande.
Reciprocation.
Conciencia de Krishna.
Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, yo siento como por el hecho de servirle,
I feel that because by serving you,
obtengo tanta recompensa espiritual.
I can
so much. Yeah. We can have interchange.
Spiritual reward.
Reward.
Aunque también material.
And also material.
Hay personas que creen que cuando el maestro espiritual toca al discípulo, este recibe una descarga eléctrica.
Discharge.
Que le transmite conocimiento y felicidad. Pero la realidad no es esa. La realidad es que por servirle y escucharle, Guru Maharaj, yo siento como usted me hace comprender e ir realizando que Krishna es una persona y que puedo acercarme a él a través de su dulce nombre. Guru Maharaj, cuando usted recita el Maha Mantra, lo hace tan dulcemente, con tanto amor, que yo siento deseo de hacerlo así. Y ese es el gran premio que obtengo por servirle. Su eterno sirviente.
Take a picture and send it to, what is that called? What's that magazine?
IRM.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes, which were blinded by darkness of ignorance, which were the torchlight of knowledge. This verse gets more and more meaning to me, because without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot see according to Krishna and Krishna's representative's real truth. So long wandering in this world of illusion, and so long in ignorance, and still under this condition. But because of accepting you as my spiritual master, my life got so much more meaning. Because having wasted so many lifetimes uselessly, why not this lifetime, even for once, become serious about who I am, where I'm from, to whom I belong, where I go? You gave all these answers to all these questions that I was looking for so long. You are a representative of Srila Vyasadeva, a bona fide spiritual master, helping the poor fallen souls, including myself, back to the light of truth, and how to sleep, and to learn to serve Krishna. How important it is to serve the spiritual master properly and according to this and Krishna's desire, to receive his full blessing, to become enlightened, the spiritual wisdom and devotion for Lord Krishna. You show us all what is the real goal of life, to serve and to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. And you teach me to recognize that I am not this body, but I am the spirit soul, who was an eternal loving relationship with Lord Shri Krishna. How wonderful this must be. This can only be reached by serving you, mightily, and serving you by following your merciful instructions, so that you will be complete and bring us back to Godhead. One of the things we stress so much is to understand why we do things and for what we're doing it. To follow, but not to blindly follow. Follow with understanding, dedication, and loving surrender. When you have a baby mind, you teach so many teachings, and one of the very essential teachings of you is to chant and to be happy. You said that if you chant, you round nicely, then your life is successful. You don't just preach this word, but you really live according to your teachings. You show us how essential chanting Hare Krishna is, and how this is something so wonderful. You prove it because so long chanting Hare Krishna nicely, you are still determined, enthusiastic, humble, faithful, and a surrendered loving servant of your beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, Lord Shri Krishna. You give us the example how one can grow in spiritual life so nicely by making the teachings and instructions of the spiritual master one's life and soul. You give a lot of inspiration to me so that I can see how one can find the inner strength and to discriminate what is favorable for spiritual life and what is not. One needs intelligence for that, and according to Srila Prabhupada, is the intelligence of the disciple of the spiritual master, the light and night that shows us the way to go back to Krishna. So this verse gets more and more deeper meaning for me, and hopefully it will deepen more with your purpose known to me. Dear Guru Maharaj, how much indebted I am to you for all you did for me. I wish one day to become just like you, a true servant of the servant, to really be happy and appreciated about its real identity, to do everything for your Krishna pleasure. Thank you so much for everything, and please, I may always stay at the lotus feet. Because this is the only safe place, and please bless us, especially my dear husband, back together, who is serving you so nicely and takes so good care of us. Please forgive all my offenses and shortcomings. My Guru Maharaj, and thank you so much for being so tolerant and patient with me. Your insignificant and inspiring servant is serving to this.
Darme su misericordia y aceptarme como su discípulo aspirante, por instruirme y guiarme en el camino devocional, el cual yo solo sé que no sabría seguir y encontrar la meta. Le doy las gracias a Krishna por enviarme su representante para que yo pueda servirle y seguirle y servirle con todo mi respeto y devoción.
Respect and devotion.
También le doy las gracias por hacer que esté aquí en este día tan señalado. Compartiendo este momento tan maravilloso en su presencia y celebrando el día de Vyasapuja. Gracias, siguiente.
Aquí en la misma habitación. Pero no puedo expresar.
Sí, sí, pues.
You go from door to door, person to person,
and you present Krishna, you are willing to give them as much attention as they ask in helping them accept your gift. You are out in the streets in many parts of the world talking about your personal desire to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire. Most of the things that don't involve preaching you see as a waste of time for yourself. Every minute of your life is centered around how you can serve humanity at large the best and thus serve the mission of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You always take care that people don't get distracted from the goal, that there is little or no room for misunderstanding what you are saying, doing, or not doing. No matter who the person is in front of you, you always smile upon them, encouraging them to take Krishna more seriously and to love his devotees. Your two main activities are studying and spreading the divine knowledge of the Holy Name. To see your dedication to Srila Prabhupada is an inspiration that can take me through my whole life. To you I want to surrender my life and soul. To you I need to surrender my life and soul. Although I am many times a stubborn lady, I want to become your close and humble disciple. I pray that one day every breath I take, every move I make is in your divine service, not anymore in the service of my senses. That day I will finally add up to your glory. Finally I will be worth being called your disciple. Your disciple, daughter, and true.
Giving relief from the heat, and the wind is refreshing and pleasing. My dear Guru Maharaj, you are tasting the nectar of Krishna's holy name, and you feast on the beautiful forms of the Lord. Engaged in preaching Lord Chaitanya's mission, you are like a cloud that gives us relief from the heat of this material life. Your lotus feet give shelter to all the conditioned souls who come in contact with them. Your mercy and love is like the sunshine which embraces those who go and stand in its light and fills them with a warm and heavenly feeling. You are like the wind, refreshing for the soul. And like the ocean, your mind is never disturbed. Although there are many rivers flowing to the ocean, it is never disturbed by them. This time of the year is reminding me of Vrindavan, where lotus flowers are blooming in the Yamuna, and where swans and cranes are waiting for Krishna to play on his flute. Krishna's dark complexion as a dark, fresh rain cloud make the peacock dance, and the cows are all surrounding him to be petted and called for by Krishna. Where parrots fly from tree to tree and the clouds form an umbrella above Krishna and Balaram while they are playing with their friends on Govardhan hills. The bees are humming and the scent of the blossoming Kalpa Vriksha trees is very sweet. I remember the lilas of Krishna's childhood when he wanted to get the moon as a toy from Mother Yasoda. And Krishna was breaking the pot of yogurt she was churning and giving butter to the monkeys. As Mother Yasoda bound Lord Sri Krishna with a rope of love, so you have bound Krishna with love in your heart. By your mercy, we are also able to have Krishna's loving reciprocation and association of his dear most devotees. Please be merciful unto us and pick us up from this ocean of repeated birth and death, and place us in the position so that we can serve you always. Happy Vyasa Puja, yours in service today.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we call the birthday the start of prison life, and from the spiritual standpoint, the day to lament more than to celebrate. Fortunately for the Vaishnavas, birthdays become appearance days, and prison days become liberation days. And in some cases, birthdays even become just the future days. The appearance day of Srila Prabhupada in this world is surely something to celebrate. And everyone following sincerely in his footsteps is a reason for celebration. I'd like to thank Paralananda Swami and the devotees for giving me the opportunity to express my gratitude to him in his Vyasa Puja day. In his kindness, Krishna is creating so many opportunities for fallen souls to return to their real home with real friends and real activities with so much more. From my own life, I can see that the unwillingness to embrace the real solution to all problems, the unwillingness to surrender to real solutions, is very deep. Of course, not so deep as Krishna's kindness, patience and tolerance, but it seems I'm doing more than my fair share of testing these qualities. But I'm convinced that with the help of the nice association of the devotees and by their guidance and example, eventually my own desires will be uprooted. These devotees become devotees because of the spiritual connection, the Guru Parampara, Krishna's gift to his lost children in this material world. All the senior disciples and devotees before me will surely have described all your personal qualities from different angles, and the long bordering ones will listen to them again, as far as I know them. I'd just like to thank you for the distribution of this gift so freely, and I'm praying that I will become humble enough to receive it in the right way. Yours gratefully, and trying to become a servant of the
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Happy birthday in Krishna consciousness. All glory to your appearance there. We are very fortunate that we can celebrate this auspicious day here in Radha Desh together with you. When I started to write this Vyasa Puja offering, I was looking in the Bhagavad Gita for a verse I could use in my writing. There are many beautiful verses, a lot of knowledge, the absolute truth, like Krishna says here in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, verse 2. Radhya Vicha Radhya Guna Uyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Su Sukham Kalkim Ablayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. This is just perfect. I realized once more how imperfect I am, how impure my senses are, and how my soul is covered by material conditioning. Almost sometimes it seems impossible to overcome. But there is one hope, Guru Maharaj, and this hope is you. You are the straight line in my life, like a strong rock in the ocean, who stays strong despite what happens around him in this material world. Through you I can see Srila Prabhupada. You bring Srila Prabhupada to me through your speaking and acting. You are so merciful. Some time ago you said in a lecture, when a baby starts to walk, sometimes he fell. Nobody blames the child for this. It's normal. And the child will not refuse walking because of this. Now he stands up and tries again. And he walks, he stops, and he walks again. It touched my heart because this an inspiration to try to walk again and again, to never give up. I thought, my Guru Maharaj is so kind, so gentle, so merciful. He understands everything. Through what kind of storms we, his disciples, ever stumble, he catches us and brings us back to the right direction. Thank you. Sometimes it is difficult for me to surrender, I'm sure you know. I have a strong conditioning. I'm a stubborn person, a hard learner. I can only pray to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and you to be patient with me, to forgive my shortcomings, my impatience, and please to give me intelligence to make the right steps and decisions in my spiritual life. I found another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, verse 13, 14. Avveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmano nirahankara sama dukha sukha shami. I forgot to say something. I found a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, verse 13, 4, which let me think about you. And these two verses together. Santushta satatam yogi yatatma dritha nishchayaha nishchaya mayarpita manubudhiya yoma sakta samesiyaha. Krishna says, one who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, Nirmama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pain and trouble pertaining to the body because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He does not identify with the body. Therefore he is free from the conception of false ego and is equipoised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant and he is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. You are again and again a perfect example for everything said in this verse. Guru Maharaj, the very small service I may render to you is nothing. I should do everything for you. When I serve you, when we serve you, you are pleased, and when you are pleased, Krishna is pleased. And what is more worthy to please Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and you? I hope you will have a nice appearance day. Thank you for everything. Your servant trying to become humble. Ekantabhati Devadasi.
Are you going to say something?
I'm really glad with the writing offering, so I think that was an other thing I should kind of teach you also. But, I just feel like, thank you for everything and accepting me and understanding me.
Krishna Krishna. Some fish.
Little Mexican?